We're glad to have Brother Marshall here with us this morning with his sign ministry. He's been involved in this about 14 years, and he was a missionary to Australia before that. But I think a good ministry. He had a good lesson in our Sunday school this morning, just about from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, about the need for us to be witnesses. And this is a great opportunity to do that. We need to get the word out any way we can, through tracts, these signs, or speaking the scriptures, because the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's the seed that needs to be planted in people's hearts for them to come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. You give your testimony. You can do all those things, but you've got to plant the seed with it. Or you've not given the thing which the Holy Ghost works with to bring forth faith in that person's heart. So pray for him, for his ministry. We thank him for that. And come preach to us this morning, brother.
Hey, it's a privilege to be here today. First of all, I'd like to thank you guys for the wonderful motel room you gave me. And I'd also like to thank Mrs. Cotting for that good pizza she cooked last night. You want to get some good pizza, go over to the Cottings, buddy. I thought he told me, he says, we're going to have pizza when you come over. I thought, well, a Little Caesars or something. Yeah. Mrs. Cotting brought that pizza out. She'd homemade pizza. Buddy, I'm telling you, that was some chow there. And so I thank them for that. And just thank you guys for having me today. My name is Joe Marshall from AB Sign Ministry. We used to be Gospel Tech Mission, but Casper retired about 5 years ago, the director, and so Cindy and I just went out of our local church now, and we changed the name to AV Sign Ministry. Stands for Authorized Version. I'm sure you guys know that. We've been in here about 14 years. I think we've been in over 300 churches, and mostly in West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. We did take a trip to Alaska 1 year. Cindy and I loaded up a van full of signs and took Leslie and we drove up the Alcan Highway to Alaska. I think it was about a 14,000-mile trip all up. And on the way up, we really bonded. Cindy and I really bonded on the way up there. And the way back, we unbonded. Amen. But anyway, it's fun giving away scripture signs. You know, it's just something that we do, and we just enjoy it. And by the way, we're looking for people to take over. I'm 74 years old. I'll be 75 in May. I got 1 foot, almost 2 foot in the grave. So if God would lay it on your heart to do what I do, we'd sure love to have you. If somebody out of this church would be willing to do it, I'd give you the whole state of Pennsylvania for starters, and you can just take these signs around the churches around Pennsylvania and do the same thing that, you know, sort of, whatever that I'm doing. We sure need people to do it, and so if God would lay that on your heart, talk to the pastor and see what happens. I guess that anybody got, let me show you real quick what we got. We've got the Corplast signs here. They're free, one per family, one per church. They're back there in the back. And also we have these metal ones here. These are real nice. Where did I do with that? There it is over there. We charge $20 for these, but you get three signs. They slide in and out. You can switch them around and stuff. And they're there. And those will last you a good long time. So they're $20. I think I got about six of them back there. You're welcome to have one of those. Also got these magnetics back there in the back. Jesus Saves. I got this one on my car. Jesus Saves. Are you saved? I like that. I put both of those on my car. And just drive around. Be a witness for the Lord. Amen. I like this one here. Jesus is God. When I first got, that's not, I know that isn't a scripture verse, but it's definitely scriptural. But when I was first saved, Brother Cotting, I was reading my Bible a couple months after I was saved, and Lord laid on, showed me that Jesus is God. I never really realized he was God. I mean, I knew he was the Son of God, but I never realized he's actually God, you know. And but that was something for me to God to show me. And so it was around Christmas time. I took a big 4x8 sign and I nailed it up on the front of my house and put Christmas tree lights on. Put Jesus is God across that 4x8 sign, you know, and they were twinkling. I remember standing out in my front yard looking at Jesus is God, you know, the Christmas lights twinkling. And that's how the sign ministry started, you know. But so that's back there. I got this one here. You must be born again. That's a good one to have. I got some memory books back there. These are $5 each. Memory books. Great thing to get into memorizing the word. Anybody have any questions all about the ministry at all? Yes, sir. Both. Desire, and somebody asked me. Somebody, Casper asked me, you know. He was down in Tennessee at an Amazing Grace Missions Conference, and he used to have that van with the great big scriptures all over it, and I said, man, this is a great thing. You give away scripture signs. He said, yeah, you know. And I said, I'll try to get some meetings back there in Akron for you. And he said, okay. So I got home in Akron, and called him. I said, I can't get any meetings for you. These preachers don't want to have anybody in. They're all backslidden or something. I don't know. And he says, Joe, he says, why don't you do this? Why don't you give away the sign? I said, me? He says, yeah. I said, so I said, well, I'll think about it. And I ended up going in from that. But it's always sort of been my thing. I've always been a sign guy. Even when I went to Australia over there as a missionary, I took signs over there with me and put them. I had a whole bunch of signs printed up, took them over there with me and put them on telephone poles, and we made big Muslim banners we put up over in Australia, and it's always kind of been my thing, anyway, that's that.
Thank you for doing it.
Yeah, thank you for coming and suffering for Jesus today. All right, any other questions? All right, turn to Isaiah 55:11. Start out there real quick. What time you usually wrap up, preacher?
About
22. 22, okay, good.
That's what I try.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you. Okay, Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and starting there in verse 6. In these words which I command thee this day, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. In these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. I like that verse right there. You know, I believe in Bible memorization. I think Bible memorization is really the steroid of Christianity. It will do more for you, I believe, than anything else in the Christian life. When I was first saved, we memorized scripture books down there. In fact, this was the one we memorized. Dr. King gave us these, and we memorized one of these every semester. And this is the first one I ever memorized, Let There Be Light, from Bible Memory Association. And, I did that for 2 years, memorizing the Word of God. I actually made my own memory books later on. I cut them out of the old Bering Precious Seed Bible and put them in spiral notebooks, and I'd memorize them from there. And I memorized the Word of God for about 2 years, and I remember pillowing my head one night in my rooming house down there in Milford. I was a single man at that time, and I thought to myself, you know, it has been 2 years since I've had a bad thought. And believe me, folks, I was no Boy Scout before God saved me. And I said, well, how could this possibly be to the Lord? And the Lord just told me, he said, Joe, it's the Word of God. Amen. Amen. It's the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So they're back there. They're $5 each. Help yourself after the service. They get into memorizing the Word of God. I don't care if you're 5 years old or 85 years old. It's never too late or too early to start memorizing the Word of God. It'll do something for you. And it'll give you a prayer life, too. You get into the Word of God and memorize it. It'll give you a prayer life, too. And so he says there, these words this day which I command thee shall be in thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and thou risest up. You know, we got to get the Word of God in our kids, amen? In our grandkids, in our great-grandkids, you know? I was telling preacher, we were talking last night at dinner, and I was telling preacher when I went to Australia as a missionary, I married an Australian girl over there, and she died at our first girl's childbirth. She had a brain tumor. We didn't know it, and she died. They rushed her into the operating room. They took my daughter, Leslie Cesarean, out. She was blue when they took her out. But my wife passed, and she was in an incubator for about, I don't know how long. Every time I walked in that preemie ward, I'd cry like a baby, you know, for about 2 months. And I'm not even a crying person. But anyway, I got little Leslie home, you know, and I thought, how can I help this little girl grow up in the nurture and admonition where I was single, you know, then? And I didn't know what to do. So the Lord laid this on my heart. Joe, go in there and take an old Alexander Scorby King James Bible tape and put it on the tape player and play 45 minutes when you put her in the crib. And then when she got up in the morning, I'd go in there and I'd flip the tape over and play the other side. So Leslie was getting about an hour and a half of Bible every 24-hour period. And she did that for 18 years. And let me tell you something, folks. It works. It works. And, you know, you can do a lot of things. And Cindy homeschooled her for 13 years. That also helped quite a bit, too. But you can do a lot of things for your kids, but if you get them in that Word of God, it'll do something for you. It'll last a lifetime, you know. And so God says here, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. So that's kind of a lazy guy's way to do it, but it works. And then verse 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Now check this out, verse 9. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Can you imagine being back in Israel in the day and walking around a village back then? Everywhere you look, prepare to meet thy God. Be sure your sin will find you out. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That'd be hard on the heathen, right? So it's hard on the heathen, and what's it do? It encourages the Christians. And so that's our vision for AV Sign Ministry. We could plaster this world with the Word of God. Folks, there's a lot of things out there today you see on the highways and byways. I remember driving up from Florida a while back, and Cindy and I counted, in a 40-mile stretch, we counted 20 billboards advertising filth, okay? We only saw one billboard with a scripture on it. And you know what that scripture was? Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination back there in Leviticus. We need more of those, amen? And you know who put that out? The Church of Christ. Folks, we can't let the Church of Christ get a leg up on us. They sure have changed a little bit lately, haven't they? So anyway, what I'm saying is this world needs the Word of God, amen? And so you don't see much of it out there, the world needs the Word of God. Now come up to Isaiah 55, verse 11, that first one we read there. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now notice that his word, what? Shall not return unto him void. Folks, when you put a scripture sign out in your front yard and people drive by and they see that word, God's going to do a work. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, the Bible says the sower soweth the word. Every person that sees that scripture sign in your front yard and reads it and later on gets saved, you got a part in their salvation, believe it or not, because you've sowed that word of God in that person's heart. We used to have one out in front of our house, our old house over there from Barberton High School, and those Barberton kids would walk up the street on the sidewalk there, and they'd get up in our yard, and they'd take pictures of our sign and stuff. I don't know what they were doing. I think they were putting it on that book face or something, you know? But his word is not bound, amen? It's going to do a work. You don't have to, when you put the word of God out, you don't have to get out there and coax it. You don't have to pay it support. It's going to work 24/7. It's working. Convicting people of their sin, drawing people to himself. God's using it to draw people to himself and finally save him, like the verse the preacher quoted today. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, here, if you're saved here today, folks, everybody here that is saved got saved because of the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And the convicting, regenerating power of the Holy Spirit of God, using the word of God to convict people of their sin, to draw people to himself, and finally save them. Amen? God always uses his word. Amen? The Bible says, of his own will begat he us with the word of God. I lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness what? The engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So God always uses his word to bring people to salvation. It will not return unto him void. But notice this, it'll accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I stand. That's a great promise of God. Amen. And so that's one of the reasons why I post scripture, is because God's going to use scripture. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, God says this, turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Notice there, God says, I'll make my known words known unto you, and I will pour out my spirit unto you. Notice that God's pouring out of the spirit is connected with the word of God. Amen. And so it'll do a work, amen? So that's one of the reasons, major reasons why I post scripture. Another reason why I post scripture is because I'm saved. I'm saved, amen? 47 years ago, God saved this drunken, whoremongering, dope-dealing Roman Catholic about 47 years ago. My mom died when I was 16. My dad died when I was 17. I had an apartment when I was a junior in high school. I was a popular kid back then, you know. Joe had an apartment. Everybody come over to my house and party on the weekends, you know. And I started drinking beer and smoking pot. And one day, I say this in quotations, a friend of mine invited me over to his house one afternoon. He injected heroin into my arm one afternoon, and I ended up being a heroin addict for 5 years after that. And folks, I wasn't a happy camper. I hated my life. I wanted off dope, but I didn't know how to get off. I kept trying, but falling flat on my face. And when I was 26 years old, God started sending people my way to witness to me. And by the way, I didn't start getting a witness till I was 26 years old. I mean, for 26 years, I went in this world without a witness. Nobody ever gave me a gospel tract. Nobody ever verbally witnessed to me. I never saw a kid in high school ever witness to me or carry a Bible. We didn't even have a Bible in our home. In 10 years of parochial schooling, we never had a Bible in our home. I never saw a Bible in church, ever. Do you ever see a Bible at church? You know, I mean, it's like catechisms and all that, but no Bible. And so what happened was God started sending people my way. A couple of people gave me books to read. One person gave me The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey and his book on Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth. I read those two books. This is before I was saved. Another person gave me a Moody book on heaven. I read that before I was saved. Another person gave me Wilkerson's book, The Cross and the Switchblade. I read that before I was saved. All those books I read before I was saved, and still wasn't saved. And a friend of mine, we decided we're going to have a marijuana plantation down in southern Ohio. So we bought I was selling pot back then. I had a lot of money. And we're going to have a marijuana plantation down in southern Ohio. So we bought a 189-acre farm down there. Beautiful. It looked like a state park down there. I mean, had a log cabin on it and all this stuff. And he moved down there with his family, and I stayed up in Akron. I didn't move down there because he couldn't get no dope down there. So I only came down on the weekends. And I used to drive down there on Route 60, just south of Zanesville there. There was a sign on the side of the road. It said, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I used to drive by that sign. What does that mean? What does that mean? I didn't know what it meant. I was just a dumb hippie. You know? I didn't know what it means. But you know, God started working on me. I started coming under conviction in my life, and I didn't even know what conviction was. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I'd be in beer joints, and people come up to me, "Joe, you look like you're in a crisis." And I was, but I wasn't going to tell them. I was miserable. I couldn't hardly, like I said, I couldn't hardly breathe, and I didn't know there was a way out of this life I was leading. And so what happened was, a girl that I partied with left the New Testament outside my door in a flower in a vase one day, and she wrote on the New Testament, "Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven." And I took that Bible in my house. I said, "I'm going to try reading the New Testament. Maybe that'll do something for me, you know?" And I picked up that New Testament and started reading it. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. And just one night, folks, I was up there in the book of Romans. Started in Romans chapter 1. I started coming under conviction of my sin. Got worser in 2. Got worser in 3. I read in there, "There's none righteous," there in chapter 3. "There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understand it. There's none that seeketh after God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," you know. I read Romans 3:19 that said, "All the world is guilty before God," not a accountable, as a new version say, but guilty. And God put his finger on me that night and said, Joe, that's you. You're guilty before God. I said, you're right, Lord, but what am I going to do, you know? And then I read Romans 3:21, where it says, because we're guilty by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And this is how a Roman Catholic thinks. You know, if I'm going to hell because of my sin and I'm guilty before God, I can't get there by keeping the Ten Commandments or some kind of religious rigmarole. Just how are you supposed to get to heaven is going through my mind, you know? Well, God showed me there in the next series of verses. It says in Romans 3:21, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, the Old Testament. Even the righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith of Jesus Christ. Unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God saved me on this verse, Romans 3:24, 47 years ago. The verse goes, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And Nate, I read that verse. I realized me, a no good, dirty, rotten sinner, could be justified freely simply by believing on Jesus Christ. And folks, I did. I felt the Lord come in my heart. And guess what? My life's never been the same since.
Amen.
And I can testify here today. I haven't had a needle in my arm, smoked a joint, drunk a beer, or said darn or a Hail Mary in 47 years. And nor do I want to. Amen. Amen? You know, people say, well, I got off dope. I don't need God. That's a crutch, you know. But it's a day-to-day battle. Well, you know, if you truly get saved and accept Jesus and then turn your life over totally to him after you get saved, I mean, start going to church, getting baptized, start witnessing for Jesus, giving to God, doing good work, turning your life over to God after you get saved, God will not only deliver you physically from any addiction you may have, but he'll deliver you psychologically too. Amen. Jesus said, I've come to set the captive free and to open the prison them who are bound. So I praise the Lord that God saved me 47 years ago. And that's why I believe in the Word of God. Amen. Because I got saved by the Word of God. I mean, I got come under conviction by the Word of God. And I got saved in the Word of God. Amen. So I believe in the Word of God. That's one of the main reasons why I post Scripture, is because of the Word of God. Amen. Second reason I post Scripture, I like to post Scripture, is I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
Amen? I don't want to be ashamed. The Bible says, whosoever believeth on him, what? Shall not be ashamed. Amen? I don't think God has any secret agents, do you? And I think we've talked about it in Sunday school, but if you get saved, you will confess Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God is raising him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Amen. Amen, brother. And so, you know, when I first got saved, my old friends had come over to the house. Hey, Joe, let's go down and have a beer. I said, guys, I'm not going down anymore. I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. You what? And they laughed, but they respected it, you know. They knew God had done something for me. But you know, those guys would leave, and guess what? I'd never see them again. You know, guys that I partied with, fought with, drank with for you know, 10 years, supposedly my friends, I'd never see them again. Well, you know what? That helped me two ways. It helped me, number one, witness to my old friends, and number two, they didn't want to hang with me anymore because Joe was a Jesus freak, amen? Well, that's good, amen? We need Jesus freaks, you know? And so, what was I talking about? I can't remember, man. Anyway, I'm not ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. Okay, I got to pay attention to my notes here. The evolutionists, they're not ashamed, are they? Huh? We came from a big bang, you know. This intricate universe came from a big bang, amen. If you believe that, I got some beach land out in Las Vegas I want to sell you, amen. It takes more brains the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament that showeth his handiwork, you know. If you could look up in these intricate universe and believe it came from a big bang, I got some beach land out in Las Vegas I want to sell you. But, and also, you know, the atheists, they're not ashamed, amen. They're not ashamed of atheism, amen. I ran into a guy down there at the flea market the other day, and I tried to give him a chick track, and he said, I'm an atheist. You know, I said, okay, you know, are you? You know, he said, yeah. He says, God, my wife's in a wheelchair, and God didn't do anything to help her. She's in a wheelchair for the rest of her life. And I'm an atheist now. We used to believe in God, but we're not anymore. We're atheists. And I said, well, sir, a lot of things have happened to me in my life, and I'm not an atheist. You know, I found out that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. He said, well, I don't care. He says, I'm still an atheist. And I said, well, sir, let me tell you this. I said, there's no atheist in hell. Everybody in hell is a believer. I just left him with that and left. But they're not ashamed anyway. And the drunkards today, they're not ashamed of their drunkenness, are they? Oh, I've got a disease, they say. You know, no, they don't have a disease. They got a sin problem. Amen. Drunkenness isn't a disease, it's a sin problem. Amen. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor drunkards shall inherit the kingdom of God. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink. You know, that's a strong verse there, but I wouldn't want to be a bartender. You know, you'd be in trouble, man. But drunkenness, no, then people don't have disease. You know, that's just an excuse. It's an excuse. I can't quit alcohol because I've got this disease. Well, if they do, I know the great physician. He can help them. And then the drug addicts today, they're not ashamed, are they? They're not ashamed of drug addiction. You know, when I was a drug addict, I was ashamed of myself. Amen? I lived with a couple guys. We had a party house. I lived with a couple guys. I used to go down in the basement and shoot my dope. I didn't want anybody to know I was a drug addict. You know, I hid it. I was ashamed of it. But these drug addicts, they're not ashamed, you know? So, you know, they should, you know, but out in Seattle on the West Coast, you know, they'll get down in these stairwells and they'll be shooting dope, and the police will walk by and they'll say, hey, are you getting well? And they say, well, I will be in a minute, you know. If they'd have caught me when I was a drug, where would I have been? I'd been straight in jail, amen? Amen. And that's what they need to do. Put them in jail, amen. Let them go through withdrawal, you know. That might help them a little bit, amen. Get off dope, you know. But they're not ashamed, the dope addicts. The Roman Catholics today, they're not ashamed of their heresy, are they? They say, I was out knocking on doors a while back and went up this driveway. And before I even said anything, this woman said, I'm a Catholic. I'm a Catholic. I said, well, I'm a Baptist, and there'll be plenty of Baptists in hell, you know. But she had glorified herself. You know, that's what Roman Catholicism does, glorifies itself. I'm Catholic. She glorifies herself. But Catholicism is the great cult today in America, and it's not even listed in Walter Martin's Book of Cults, you know. You know why he don't got it in there? He doesn't sell any books, amen? Money, you know. But Jack Van Epi, he used to say that one of the popes was one of the greatest Christians he ever met. Shame on him, amen? Catholicism, guilty of heresy after heresy after heresy. Infant baptism, heresy one, the mass or the mess, I call it, heresy number two. Salvation by works, sacramental works, heresy number three. Praying to Mary, which is nothing but sheer idolatry. Heresy number four, indulgences. Heresy number five, the infallibility of the popes and the apostolic succession. Heresy number six. You want to read a good book sometime? Read Dave Hunt's book, A Woman Rides the Beast. He exposes Catholicism like no other book I've ever read. And he talks about all the popes back in the days, perverts, murderers, bastards, and that word comes from the Bible, by the way, and homosexuals, and et cetera, et cetera. These infallible popes, you know, that the Roman Catholicism thinks they're God here on this earth. They're nothing but a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners that need to get born again. Amen. And so on and on it goes, heresy after heresy, you know. You say, Joe, do you hate Roman Catholics? I love them, or I wouldn't preach to them. If I hated them, I wouldn't even say nothing to them. I wouldn't even give them a tract, amen? I just let them go to hell. But because I love them, because I was involved in Catholicism, I want them to go to heaven, amen? I want them to go to heaven. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, amen? What does that mean? It means expose them, amen? Catholicism needs to be exposed for what it is. One of the greatest tracts I've found is Jack Trick's, and the preacher and I were talking about it last night, is Jack Chick's track, Last Rites. What a tremendous track. I love Jack Trick. I think he did more to expose Catholicism probably than any man that has ever lived, Jack Chick. And I love that guy for that. I mean, I'm surprised they never killed him, you know. I met Alberto over there in Australia. We had him over there for a revival for a week. He was good, but every night he preached against Catholicism. And he said, he preached one night, he thought 70% of the Roman Catholic priests were homosexuals, you know. And I guess they wrote him a letter. We want to protest. You said 70% of our priests are Roman are homosexuals. They said it's only 50%. That's what he said, you know. But and you know what? I think he's about right. Amen. I talked to him after the sermon. I said, "Could that be true, Alberto?" He says, "Yeah, you know, yeah." You guys ever want to watch a good program, and it's put out by Frontline? Watch this this thing by Frontline. It's called Secrets of the Vatican. If you ever get a chance, look that up on the internet and watch it. Secrets of the Vatican by Frontline. They expose the Roman Catholic priests over in the Vatican, showing that the majority of them are all homosexuals running the Catholic Church. They show them in gay bars all night long, and then the next day saying the Mass, you know?
Yeah.
Man, what a mess. Okay, so they're not ashamed, amen? The homosexuals today, they're not ashamed, are they? They're coming out of the closet today, amen? I say go back in, amen? they declare their sin is Sodom. They hide it not. That's what they do. They hide it not. We're having gay pride. I think we ought to have straight pride parades, don't you? We need a few of them, amen? No, God didn't make Adam and Steve. God made Adam and Eve, you know? People say, well, I was born gay. I can't change. That's a lie of the devil. You know, homosexuals aren't born gay. They're born sinners, but they choose a lifestyle just like any other sinner. They choose. Well, you know, a person can be a little bit sissy when he's a young man, or a woman can be a little bit like a man when she's young, I guess, whatever. But that doesn't mean they got to grow up to be a homosexual.
Amen?
That doesn't mean that at all. We were over there in Africa. We had a guide over there, a good black Christian guy. And he was a little bit effeminate, a little bit. We used to kid him a little bit about it, you know. And you know what he used to say? He said, my mother was a woman. That's what he said. That's pretty good. I like that. but you know, they're not ashamed. Amen. We do the fair. I haven't done them for a couple of years because of COVID, but we did the fairs there with Amazing Grace Missions, and we set up a booth one day, and these three girls walked in the booth. I got them back there in the back, and I started giving them the gospel. I had a large print King James Bible there, and I was showing them. I always start people out in Revelation 21:8. The fearful, unbelieving. I left out Romans 3:23. I quit using that because to me that's water off a duck's back. I think you got to get people convicted of personal sin in their life. So anyway, I always go through Revelation 21:8 and read it to the person, let them see it. I said, now look here, girls, the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Then I go back and explain each word. Now the fearful, that's people that are afraid to get saved. The unbelieving, that's like atheists or whatever, people that don't believe in God. And the third is an abomination. And I said, now girls, there's a lot of abominable things in the Bible, but one of them is homosexuality and lesbianism. And it was one girl raised her hand. She says, sir, can I tell you something? I said, yeah, what is it? She says, I'm a lesbian. She said, I'm a homosexual. She called herself a homosexual. I said, okay. I just kept going on with the presentation. Got down a little bit farther, you know, and she raised her hand again. She says, can I tell you something again? And I said, sure, what is it? She says, I know God hates homosexuals. And I said, no, honey, God doesn't hate homosexuals. God loves homosexuals. God loves the sinner, but he hates sin. And she kind of smiled. She's glad to hear that. God loved her, you know. And got a little bit down farther, Romans 10:13. And after you've gone through Revelation 21:8, just about everybody wants to get saved because you've got them lost there in Revelation 21:8. I'd say, girls, would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior? And they looked at me and said, yeah, I guess. That's okay. Well, we can do that, but let me ask you a question before we pray. Are you willing, by God's grace, to turn from whatever God convicts you about? and just challenge them a little bit, you know. And some guys say, well, what does that mean? Does that mean I got to quit living with my girlfriend? Yeah. You know. Well, you come back later. I'm glad you brought that up, but come back later if you're interested. But anyway, I challenged these girls. I said, are you willing? And this girl looked at me, the one that was doing all the talking. She says, I don't know if I can. And I looked at her, you know, and I said, Lord, give me a verse. And Lord gave me this verse. I could do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. And I quoted her that verse. And she looked and she said, I'll try. I said, okay, let's pray. And so I prayed with the three girls. I don't know if the other two were gay or not, but I prayed with all three of them. And they all three asked Jesus to save them. And after we got done, we have people fill out cards in what God did for them that day. You know what that girl wrote on her card? God delivered me today from homosexuality. I said, yes! Amen. You know, God's still in the saving business. Amen. You say, you say, Brother Joe, I thought those homosexuals were all delivered over to a reprobate mind. Well, some of them are. And a lot of other people are delivered over too. Amen. You don't have to be a homosexual to be delivered over to a reprobate mind. You know that if you've been dealing with people for any number of years. But anyway, but God still saves people. Amen. He saves plain old-fashioned sinners. Back in the day, a lot of homosexuals were saved. Under Paul's ministry, he talks about it. He says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That's the sissy side of homosexuality. Then you have the abusers of themselves with mankind. That's the masculine side of homosexuality. That's the one you see in the prison and stuff. Bubbas, you know. But then Paul says this. He says, and such were some of you. Amen. So I'm sure many homosexuals were saved back in Paul's day, and they can be saved today, folks, too. Don't ever discount any person. Christ died for the ungodly, amen? And so they're not ashamed of it, amen? And folks, should we be ashamed of the gospel? All these people, they're not ashamed of what they do, you know? But should we be ashamed? But the problem is many of us are ashamed, amen? We're ashamed to put a sign out in our front yard. We're ashamed to put a bumper sticker on the back of our car. We're ashamed to pass out a gospel tract. We're ashamed to witness to people. We shouldn't be ashamed. You know, we need boldness today, folks. Paul said that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen? And we need to be bold for God and not be ashamed of the gospel. And so I believe it's important to do that and not be ashamed of the gospel. I think most of us aren't really ashamed of Jesus or ashamed of the gospel. I think the word for most Christians today, we're intimidated by this world more than being ashamed. Amen. Most of us really aren't ashamed, but we're intimidated. Amen. Don't be intimidated by this world, folks. Don't let the people at your work intimidate you. And don't let the people you run into intimidate you. Be bold for the gospel. Amen. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for being so good to us, Father. Thank you for saving our wretched souls and giving us eternal life, Father. Thank you for all your blessings and all your benefits. Father, there might be somebody out there today that God spoke to about going around some churches and start giving away signs. I'll give them the whole state of Pennsylvania. They can have it, Lord. There might be somebody out there that God spoke to them about that today. Lord, there might be somebody out there today that's not saved. They've never really, truly been born again, and God hasn't really changed them. Lord, I pray you'd save them today. There might be somebody out there today, Father, that's been a little bit ashamed of the gospel today, and you spoke to them about that. They're going to try to do better and maybe pass out a few gospel tracts or do something for Jesus. Amen. Whatever the need is, Lord, you meet it today. As we stand up and sing a song, let them come forward and pray if they need to, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.